It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In 2008, the Pennsylvania presidential primary was hotly contested. Even though it wasn't held until late April, neither of the top candidates, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, had enough delegates to secure the party's nomination, so they blanketed the state, stumping for votes. Of course, Barack Obama went on to win, but his second term ends in just over a year, and with Hillary Clinton still a clear frontrunner for the 2016 nomination, despite her email issues, you might be wondering if Pennsylvania will still be in play when the primary is held next April 26th. Were you thinking about this as you watched the first Democratic presidential debate last night? If you watched, here to discuss this and more is political analyst Joe Sabino-Mistic, associate professor at the Duquesne University School of Law and a columnist for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Joe Sabino-Mistic, good to have you with us.
It's good to be here, Paul.
And you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh. Would you like to see the Pennsylvania primary moved up to an earlier date on the calendar? Is an April primary still relevant? 412-246-2002, the number to call. You're certainly also welcome to weigh in with your comments about the debate, how it was formatted, how it looked compared to the Republican debates that have already been held, and even who you think won. Joe Mystic, what, if anything, will we have to discuss when the Pennsylvania primary takes place on April 26th, 2016, roughly a half year from now?
Well, there is a chance that the Democratic nominee will be pretty well known by that point. But even if that is the case, the primary is always important to Democrats. It gives them a chance to rally the troops. It bumps the turnout in the general election. That kind of interest, that kind of competition is always good for Democratic voters. At the end of the day, it allows more or encourages more Democratic voters to congeal around the ultimate nominee. In 2008, of course, Hillary Clinton came in and beat Barack Obama, even though it was pretty much accepted at that time that he was going to be the party nominee.
Right. I remember she brought Bill Clinton in to campaign for her, as she did in other states. I remember talking to some people on the eastern side of the state who were just something about Bill Clinton that just he has this effect on people. And he is maybe the, you know, he did wonders for Barack Obama at the Democratic convention in 2012, so much so that the president wanted to appoint him chief explainer of things. And he's certainly going to be someone who can help her if it is close, and it could be still, right? I mean, what if Joe Biden enters the race? They had a podium on the, I guess, on the backstage that they were going to pull out in case he showed up.
That appears less likely now. Her performance did not allow a lot of room for Joe Biden to get into this race. So I think it's less likely now than it was before last night.
I want to get into some more of that, but while we're on the subject of the primary, is our primary too late? Why Pennsylvania, of all states, certainly one of the founding states of the Union, a place where so much history has been made, and yet you have Iowa and New Hampshire that become these bellwether states, and here we are months down the road, usually after it's all decided in late April, here comes Pennsylvania. Why is it set up that way?
Yeah, it does seem peculiar, I know. And some states engage in that attempt to become a little bit earlier than their nearby competitors. That sort of never ends. We're okay where we are. We still play a role. We played a role the last time. We'll still play a role this time, regardless of how far down the road the nominee is.
What about the general election in Pennsylvania? Is Pennsylvania still a swing state?
Well, they refer to us as a purple state all the time, meaning that we are a swing state.
We're a little red and we're a little blue.
Yeah, that's right.
Thus equals purple.
That's right. But, we consistently vote for Democratic presidential nominees. Still, however, hope springs eternal in the breasts of the Republican party, and they're always talking about how they're going to take it. Now, they thought they could take it the last time. But at the end of the day, they generally fall short here. Not always, but most of the time.
And so let's talk about the debate. Joe, we were talking earlier, and the fact that last night's debate was held in Las Vegas led you to use a boxing analogy.
Yeah, it opened as sort of a championship boxing match. The music, the introduction of the candidates, that sort of fast pace leading into the opening of the actual debate.
And Vegas has the history of being the place where a lot of the big fights are held.
That's where the big heavyweight matches are usually held. And it had that air about it. Of course, it was Vegas. How do you avoid that? Even the national anthem, that's a moment of collective reflection before a big fight. And that sort of quelled the buzz in the crowd. And then they went at it. But it was a great debate. It was a real debate. It was boxing, not a cage match, as we've seen on the Republican side.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Well, I was going to wait till later to ask you this, but as long as you've brought up a comparison, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, who might have been one of the more impressive people on that stage last night, called it a more dignified debate compared to the Republicans. What do you think about that, Joe?
Well,
we know that you tend to lean a little bit more toward the left.
Sure.
But that having been said, you know, looking at it as someone who spends his life and makes a living to the profession of making legal arguments, just purely from that standpoint, give us the comparison between how the Democrats comported themselves and the Republicans.
The Republicans have not yet reached the point where they're ready as a party to engage in a serious debate of the big issues of our time. So they're still grappling with personalities. That's why there's name calling and the kind of stuff you'd find on the playground, someone making fun of another candidate's appearance.
Would that be happening, though, if Donald Trump wasn't there?
I don't know. He certainly he certainly has an overwhelming impact on their process.
Because it only takes one guy to start a food fight.
And Democrats, I must tell you, are pretty happy with Donald Trump's success and wish him well.
I'm sure they do. He was supposed to be tweeting. I forgot to check his tweets last night, but he was supposed to be saying a bunch of things during the debate. So as far as O'Malley saying it was more dignified,
He's probably on the money. It was more dignified, but keep in mind it
was it more of a debate.
It was geared to be a debate with the vast array of personalities that the Republicans have. They're not there yet, and if they pare down their list of contenders, they'll get there as well. But they're just not there now.
412-246-2002 is the number to call to join the conversation. What did you think about the debate last night? Were the issues important to you discussed? Who made good points? Who made you angry? 412-246-2002 to weigh in on the conversation. And also, Pennsylvania's status or lack of it when it comes to the primary schedule, the Pennsylvania primary occurring months after what they'll have in New Hampshire and the Iowa caucuses on April 26th, 2016, 412-246-2002, the number to call to get in on the conversation. Regardless, Joe, of whether one likes or dislikes Hillary Clinton, you really have to admire her debate skills. She seems to know exactly what she wants to say and exactly how to say it.
Yeah, she's good at this. You know, there's a lot of talk about how she may be likable personally, but publicly, her presence has been strained of late. I think last night she put a lot of that to rest. She was a very, very attractive and accessible candidate last night. She was relaxed. She managed to sprinkle enough humor in at the appropriate times, which is a skill unto itself. And I think all in all, it was a very impressive performance.
So would you say that she was hands down the winner?
Oh, no question. No question.
there were other candidates, of course, on the stage. She was in the middle, and she really drew the attention like a magnet to herself. But did any of the other candidates, going back to our boxing analogy, score any points with the judges?
Well, they were, I think they could be described as being on the undercard in this in this event, and you know, Hillary was the Hillary Clinton was the boxer, and Bernie Sanders was the puncher, and it was one of those classic bouts that we often see.
How so? Like, explain that to me.
Well, she managed to deflect most of his attacks, and every now and then she staggered him with a roundhouse, but he was clearly the slugger. In this matchup, he was louder, he was more forceful, he was more aggressive, and I'm sure that he further enthused his supporters with his performance as well. But it just doesn't—it's just not as broad-based as hers was.
Now, as expected, the email scandal did come up.
Yes.
Let's listen to what Bernie Sanders had to say about it and the reaction that he got from the crowd.
Let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too.
And let me say something about the media as well. I go around the country, talk to a whole lot of people. Middle class of this country is collapsing. We have 27 million people living in poverty. We have massive wealth and income inequality. Our trade policies have cost us millions of decent jobs. The American people want to know whether we're going to have a democracy or an oligarchy as a result of Citizens United. Enough of the emails. Let's talk about the real issues facing America.
Loudest applause moment of the night.
Yeah, it's unusual. Right? And he got that applause because this is something we no longer see in politics. It's on the Republican side, they're eating their own, so to speak. And this bodes well for Democrats to have the major contender for the nomination join hands, link arms with the leader is something that does bode well for the future.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with our guest, political analyst Joe Sabino Mystic, associate professor at the Duquesne University School of Law and a columnist for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review here on Essential Pittsburgh. He's with us in studio. Let's go to the phones. David from Braddock is on the line. Hi, David. You're on Essential Pittsburgh. Hi.
Yeah, I have a question. The reason I believe that if the Republicans really wanted a horse race between Hillary and the front runner of the Republican Party, they wouldn't have this McCarthyism going on between the emails and this thing between the two. And I believe that they really want to send a message that to her, to the American people, that we can't make it without having the email issue. And I believe that we, as a Democrat, or me as a Democrat, have to basically watch them go ahead and try to not rig the situation, but try to make it so that way she has to struggle again in order to make a win.
David, let me jump in here before I have Joe respond to your comment, to your point. You say you are a Democrat. There are other Democrats in the race and some that may be joining the race. Joe Biden certainly cannot be ruled out yet. So for you, as strictly as a Democratic voter, who I'm assuming you'll be taking part in the primary next April, you're saying that for you, the email scandal involving Hillary Clinton is a non-issue. Is that what you're saying?
It's a non-issue, and I believe it's being propped up and it's being overinflated because it's really just something that should have been passed away 2 years ago. It's really just a McCarthyism type of thing, kind of like in the 1950s with this Joe McCarthyism thing where everybody was a socialist and everybody
a communist,
was
actually
kind of like we were looking for a witch hunt. And they're doing it because we see a problem with, that's what brings Donald Trump to its levels. and brings Hillary Clinton to its lower levels.
Okay, David, and let's let Joe respond to your comment there, and you know, makes you think that if McCarthy were around today, we're talking about Senator Joe McCarthy, who
right.
was responsible for the Senate hearings on looking into the communists that had, according to him, infiltrated the government and the State Department, et cetera. Certainly Bernie Sanders would be in trouble, right?
Yeah, Bernie would be. He'd be on a list. Yeah,
that was a long time ago. So
yes.
To David's point about the Republicans are simply playing this up to damage who they see as the strongest candidate in the Democratic field.
Well, this email situation was a legitimate issue. Hillary Clinton admits that and concedes that she should have done it differently and would have done it differently had she known it would.
Even President
cause this
Obama
kind of, and even the president
said on
conceded
60 Minutes.
That.
Yeah.
That's right. But you know, the Republicans are guilty of beating this thing to death. I think excess has turned out to be their enemy, and Clinton was given a gift when the chairman of the Benghazi committee. Majority leader of the House of Representatives said that the Benghazi committee was geared up for this email scandal in order to take down her numbers, her polling numbers. And he said, look, we've done it. It's worked. That's a gift. And that essentially gives her a counter to this argument that that this is an ongoing problem. And I think she's managed to use that well.
412-246-2002, the number to call to take part in the conversation. Also, our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh. And in addition to any comments you'd like to make about the debate last night, would you like to see the Pennsylvania primary moved up to an earlier date on the calendar? And is an April primary still relevant? Also, is Pennsylvania still a swing state? What do you think? 412-246-2002, the number to call to join our conversation with our guest, Joe Sabino Mystic. Joe, the big moment for Lincoln Chafee might have come when he attacked Hillary Clinton for being too close to Wall Street banks. That's when Anderson Cooper pounced on him for voting for the repeal of Glass-Steagall, and Chafee didn't seem to handle it well, did he?
No, Lincoln Chafee probably took himself out of this contest with his answer. He may continue to run. He seems like a nice enough fellow, but saying that he was new and that was his first vote, and don't go too tough on me because my father had just died and I got appointed to his position, is not the kind of response that the voting public looks for.
Does it make it look like you would be? In case you would be the kind of person who might be incapacitated during a crisis because of some trauma that's occurring in your family?
Yeah, I think it just doesn't inspire confidence, and that's too bad. He has a fine public record. He's been a great public servant. He's right. He's been scandal-free, but that was the wrong answer at the wrong time.
And the most memorable thing about Jim Webb was how he complained about being ignored on stage, much in the way that Mike Huckabee was complaining during the Republican debate. Again, Anderson Cooper had to step in and point out more than once that these were the rules he agreed to. The question, I think, is, I guess they explain these rules at the beginning of the debate, but, you know, people are tuning in and out. They may not have heard the explanation. So for those who are not quite sure about these modern debate rules, how exactly do they work?
Well, this is long settled before the beginning of the debate. Each campaign committee must review the rules and agree to them. So he knew. His problem was that he wasn't attacked very frequently, which one might think is a good thing, but not if the rules state that you can only respond when you're attacked. So since he was off to the side, both intellectually and physically, he was not often a target, and he could not respond.
Is it is this something that's like a made-for-TV thing, where a way of getting the big names more face time because they know that's why people are tuning in. If more people are going to attack Donald Trump, then Donald Trump's going to speak more, and that's going to drive the ratings up, that kind of thing?
Well, of course, these are not classic debates by any standard.
This isn't exactly the Lincoln-Douglas debate.
That's right. Yet the Democratic format, or the CNN format last night, it will be interesting to see how it works on the Republicans when they have that debate. But that format seemed to be better than what we've seen in the past. Less of a free-for-all and a tad more organized.
Isn't that what weren't the Republicans operating under those rules, or were those new rules last night?
Last night, those were CNN rules, and I'm not
sure.
Well,
CNN had a Republican debate. I think they did it the same way.
I'm not sure if they did it the same way or not, but they have too many people right now for that to work. No format works when you have that many people on the stage.
Are we just doing it? Is all of this happening just too early? I mean,
it's a great process.
It's over a year. You think it's a great process?
It's a great process.
What do you like about it?
In our form of government, this is how we vet our potential leaders. This is how we become familiar with the important issues of our time. The process can be maddening, but even the entertainment value has some positive effect because it gets more people watching.
We have a comment on Twitter from David, who tweets, would Hillary Clinton be any less, I want to say that the word that's supposed to be there is divisive. Would she be any less divisive than Barack Obama, given strong feelings that the GOP has for her? Any less divisive? I'm assuming that he means so within the Democratic Party. Okay.
Well, the problem of divisiveness is a result of the philosophical split in the Republican Party. We do best as a country when we have cohesive arguments from both major political parties and some faithfulness on the part of those party members to their party platform. That's when we do best, because we can manage to find a middle and meet in the middle. Right now, the Republican Party is going through something that the Democratic Party went through some decades ago, but they have a substantial contingent of people who are at odds with their traditional party leadership. Now, until that's resolved, we're going to have a divisive atmosphere. It may indeed force, as we've seen in some of this talk about the speaker's crisis, it may indeed force the Republicans, the more traditional Republicans, to find some middle ground with moderate Democrats in order to come up with a governing majority.
Well, there's a long way to go between, certainly over a year to go between now and the general election in November of 2016, and half a year before we get to the Pennsylvania primary. So there are plenty of events, and a lot is going to happen between now and then, and hopefully some candidates coming through Pittsburgh. But we'll look forward to hopefully talking to you again about these and other things, Josephino Mystic. He is he has been our guest, and Josephino Mystic, associate professor at the Duquesne University School of Law, a columnist for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Joe, thanks so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, a conversation with George Mason University Russian and Eurasian Studies professor Mark Katz on Russia, Syria, and us. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.